AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Corn and soybean futures traded to the upside, with corn futures leading the way higher. Wheat futures were lower again today, adding to losses posted earlier in the week. Live and feeder cattle futures cut into early week losses, while lean hog futures ended the week with a round of solid gains.
Live from a show dusted in cinnamon and sugar via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll wrap up the week with a conversation with Jim Matthews from Ever.ag. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, just sweet enough. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm. You put cinnamon and sugar on just about anything, and I'll eat it. I'll be honest.
Yeah, that's a pretty good combination right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's hard to beat. No doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Friday afternoon. We are going to have a conversation with a new voice here on AgriTalk. Jim Matthews from Ever.ag comes highly recommended by the rest of the crew over there at Ever.ag. So I'm looking forward to, A, getting to know Jim. Jim is the, let me get his title up here, Senior Director, Global Grain and Feed at Ever.ag. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a different view of the grain markets from a different angle. It was one of those deals when I was at Pro Farmer, was the editor of Pro Farmer, and more so when I was the senior market analyst at Pro Farmer, directing the advice. It was always kind of a battle going on in my brain between, all right, now if I'm thinking that we need to be selling or hedging some corn, what should the cattle guys be doing? What should the hog guys be doing when it comes to establishing some feed coverage? If we're hedging, shouldn't we just stay out of all that coverage and wait for some lower prices later? Which wasn't always the case, of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's just that bit of a different angle that we're going to be taking on the markets today. So, well, looking forward to that conversation.
It feels healthy to hear you unburden yourself from all of that sort of mental busyness,
dude.
Go ahead and let it out. You know,
were you not aware that that's here. What AgriTalk was all about? The afternoon hour was for
what
me to unload all those burdens. That's what it's been about the whole time.
Okay.
I would have thought 10 years in, you would have figured we celebrated 10 years on the air this week.
Mm-hmm. That we did.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, buddy. I wondered why the job required a master's in psychology. And I guess it's all making sense now.
It should.
By the way, I lied.
Did you say psychology or bartendology?
Either will do. There's not
Either
much
will
difference.
Do. Yeah, gotcha. All right, man, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Sure thing. Well, wheat futures favored the downside, with professional trading funds back on the sell side of the market. May soft red winter wheat futures opened fractionally lower, tried to rally, then turned back to the downside. The price slide accelerated on the fall through the opening range, with front month SRW posting a close near session lows. May hard red winter wheat futures posted three consecutive high range opens and low range closes as prices built downside momentum. Front month HRW futures have support at the March 6 low of 551.5. Trade sources indicate Taiwan purchased nearly 100,000 metric tons of U.S. milling quality wheat this week, but the lack of a production concern among the exporting countries limits buying interest in all wheat markets. July HRW wheat futures today 8.25 cents lower, 559.75. July SRW wheat down 3.25, 544. July spring wheat closed at 653.5. Chip, that one's down 7 on the day.
Yeah, okay. Had all three of the flavors going in the same direction this week. That's kind of different for the wheat trade. July SRW futures down 6.25. July HRW down 14.5. July spring wheat down 12.75.
Well, May corn futures opened steady and dipped through support at yesterday's low before short covering helped to lift prices for the rest of the set. Did I pronounce that correctly, Chip? Short covering? Is that how you
yes,
say that? It's
I
been so long
right.
since I've said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Front month corn rallied to resistance at 440, but the lack of upside momentum kept corn prices trapped in a sideways to higher trading range. Short covering was encouraged by USDA's announcement of the sale of 125,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to an unknown destination in the current marketing year. Strong ethanol margins are supporting domestic consumption. Export demand is not overwhelming, but is still good. And traders are growing more concerned about the forecast for Brazil's Safrina corn crop. Today, May corn futures were 3 cents higher at 436.75. July corn up 2.75 cents, 449. December corn futures closed at 470.75, up 3 cents on the day, Chip.
Quite a bit of consolidation in the corn market this week. On the week, July corn down 2.75 cents, December corn down 1.25 cents.
Soybean oil futures led beans higher again today. Strength in Malaysian palm oil and U.S. crude oil futures this week helped bean oil prices work to the upside. Members of the National Oilseed Processors Association crushed 186.2 million bushels of soybeans in February. Chip, that's a new record for the month, 12.6% above year ago. It was also about 8 million bushels above the average pre-report trade estimate. Soybean oil stocks of 1.69 billion pounds were down 6.6% from year ago and were the lowest in 9 years, but still topped trade expectations by about 100 million pounds. May bean futures opened slightly lower, traded through support at yesterday's low, then recovered to close above the opening range and near the high of the day. May beans 3 cents higher, 11.98 1/4. July beans up 2.75 cents to 12.12 1/2. November beans closed at 11.90 3/4, up 3.75 cents. Feels like an awful lot of news for 3 cents higher on the day, Chip.
It was a blockbuster NOPA report. It really was. When you beat the trade expectations by 8 million bushels on monthly crush, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
On the week, July soybeans up 17 cents. November beans up 17 cents. July bean oil up 327 points.
Hello.
And July soybean meal down $5.40 a ton.
Well, Chip, July cotton futures consolidated around the 94-cent level this week with daily trading ranges narrowing. The market is testing the short-term uptrend with support in July cotton at the March 4 low of 91.81 today. July cotton was 33 points higher at 93.59. I have no idea. On the week, Chip?
Yeah, down 19 points.
Okay.
That was it.
That seems about right. Well, heavyweight choice graded boxes gained to 74 cents this morning to score a new price high for the week. Select boxes were 60 cents higher. Movement was modest at just 54 loads. Following yesterday's downside reversal, April fat cattle futures opened higher and tried to rally before falling back to spike support at yesterday's low. April fat cattle 30 cents higher, 187.25. June futures up 22.5 to 183.60. And April feeder futures 95 cents higher, 252.12.5. And on the snout side, lean hog futures used today's session to trampoline prices back to the top of the sideways trading range. Strengthened pork cutout and the uptrend in the lean hog index helped hogs trade higher on the week. April hogs $1.90 higher at 86.92 1/2. June up $1.05, 102.47 1/2. Chip.
All right, buddy. Let's take a look at the weekly changes in the livestock. April live cattle down 35 cents. April feeder cattle down 197.5. And April lean hog futures up $2.55. All right, Jim Matthews, Ever.ag is up next here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
I say, Chip.
Yes, Davis.
I mentioned crude oil in the news.
You did?
I feel like it's unfair to sort of throw that out there and not really give any context at all. The April contract right now at $80.91, down 35 cents on the day. Look out to the July, we're at $79.50. But those front three contracts are hanging in at or around $80.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it.
It's almost like we should get somebody on that knows about what's going on in the crude oil market.
We probably don't know anybody like that, though.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Phil Flynn. Phil Flynn, Price Futures Group, is going to be on with us Monday morning.
I was just going to mention the crude price, and then you turned it into a massive cliffhanger.
Well, look at you. I mean,
you can't coach this.
You see, you're so good at what you do, you don't even know what you're doing.
I don't.
Right. Right. And that's a real talent right there, Mr. Michelson.
The intangibles I bring to the table. I don't even know what they are, but they're there.
That's right.
Well, crude's at $80. That's my
point. And we're
going
to talk to Phil Flynn about it on Monday morning.
Woohoo!
Yeah, baby. All right. Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Jim Matthews is the Senior Director for Global Grain and Feed at Ever.ag. And Jim joins us right now. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing fine, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Doing real good. Real good. First time on AgriTalk. That means we got to spend a little bit of time and get to know you. Tell us, what led you to be the Senior Director of Global Grain and Feed at Ever.ag?
That's right, you guys. I'm a longtime listener, but first-time caller. And congrats, cool. Of course, on the 10 years on air. Really exciting stuff, guys. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Cool.
In terms of the path to Ever.ag, my dad's side of the family is grain farming family outside of Peoria, Illinois, and got a job on the trading floor out of school, working in the grain and oil seed complex for commercial hedger firms, and it's been a journey, but I've made my way to the good folks of Ever.ag, and as you said, Chip, kind of at the beginning, it's a different approach of looking at the grain market, at least from my team. So I'm on the, the grain and feed team, and that the two sides of your brain that you mentioned of the, the buyer's side is a different ballgame, right, than the row crop farmer and the seller side. And, I'm sure you guys, everyone knows Mike North, Britt O'Connell, the grain gurus from our team representing those row crop farmers. So it's a different ballgame thinking about it from, how do I buy this corn crop? How do I buy this bean meal and what to do from a risk management perspective on each of those products? So it's a lot of fun, and should be another interesting spring here.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But here's the thing. We've gone through a couple of years where I think the attitude for a feed buyer, the attitude was, if I wait until tomorrow, it's probably going to be cheaper than it is today. Well, here we are now, dancing around at what might be considered some value levels in both corn and in soybean meal. All of a sudden, you're back on high notice, right? What's Jim thinking we should do?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Chip. I mean, it's a completely different year, or at least a different sentiment than it's been the past couple of years. Because from a from a feed buyer, all you've been thinking about the last couple of years is just volatility and holy smokes, how high can this thing go? When will it ever come down? Looking at your grain side of things, but also your protein. So to really come into this spring for the U.S. And have the South Americans actually be in pretty decent shape. And of course, both sides of the market, we're debating constantly on, you know, okay, just how good are the Brazilians looking on this bean crop coming out of the ground, and just how good will this, you know, second corn crop going into the ground ultimately be. But at least we can say, hey, sounds like the Argentines finally have recovered, you know, potentially doubling production versus yep. last year. And, you know, despite some of the stress that we had on this crop last summer here in the U.S., we ended up with a record production on corn yep. Here in the States. So I think what the genetics have done, the hybrids have done here in the States, you know, it's at least has allowed us for a kind of a bumper year, and to have the South Americans potentially doing the same thing from a feed perspective, you're finally looking ahead and saying, geez, maybe I don't need to worry about $6 corn at this stage. And yeah, like you said, Chip, we're on high alert for suddenly, hey, I can buy $4 corn potentially yeah. for the first time in, you know, 3 years. It's a little bit of an easier thing to digest. Yeah. No pun intended for some of our dairy and livestock producers.
Yep. Yep.
So it's a, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing what we can do here this spring. And even that conversation itself, Chip, I mean, I'm sure you guys got the same, some of the same systems that we had here in Illinois yesterday in the past, you know, 48 hours or so. But the fact that we're even speaking as if it is spring, I have to, my kids keep reminding me, you know, Dad, it's not actually spring yet. It's like, gosh, I know, but holy smokes, it already feels like it. And it's changed the entire conversation for folks of, you know, we're actually going out there and thinking about doing some field work, getting some prep done. And we're already starting to catch those photos here and there of planters rolling around. So it's certainly a different ballgame this year.
You know, this is Joe Stackler. We were talking a little earlier before the show, Jim, and I think that Chip and Davis might have been involuntarily, electronically dismissed, temporarily, of course. So I don't know what the next question would be. Maybe you have the next answer.
No worries. I see Chip potentially jumping back on now. We'll give him see if he's here.
Oh yeah, I see.
Yeah, here now. Can you guys hear me?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Gee, sorry about that. A little technical difficulty. but we're back and rolling. I'm gonna pick it up right where I was trying to go to. And hopefully you guys didn't cover too much of this ground, because it gets to the difference of how you are looking at things, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when I was at Pro Farmer, and specifically the senior analyst in charge of the advice, when it came to selling corn for the row crop farmer, when it came to selling beans, I'll admit I was trying to get as close to the high as I could.
Oh yeah.
You know, you work your risk management strategies. Everything is in play there. You know that you got to whittle away at that risk as time goes on. Right. But hey, you're shooting for the high. When it came to buying feed, I just wanted to be in the lower third. That was my big goal. Does that make sense?
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're ideally, if we were all, you know, fortune tellers, we would call the low and go ahead and step in for some physical pricing and some hedges at that level too. But yeah, I think the best we can do is a year like this has been, we've been trying to let this, you know, these corn prices, for example, trying to let these prices come to us a bit. And it is a different mentality of, you know, we achieved what at least have been near-term lows in the corn market. You know, maybe that last final week of February, you get a bounce like this over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, the row crop farmer is feeling a bit more relieved, perhaps, and maybe we've got a little more spring in our step, and that along with some hopefully some better cash bids, we're maybe looking at a little bit of relief compared to where this market looked like at the end of Feb. But I think on the buying side, that was a big opportunity for us to step in and grab some of our nearby stuff. But even from a longer term perspective, we don't have a ton of anxiety on this market in terms of getting away from us too much. So that's also too, we don't, as a buyer of grain, we don't necessarily want to chase this thing up just yet, but maybe instead just kind of protect ourselves with some upside ceilings as we move through the spring.
Perfect. Perfect. What's the conversation sound like with your clients right now? What are they talking about?
Well, I think from the, you know, from the dairy livestock perspective, obviously it's a greater relief than what we've had the past 2 or 3 years, at least from an input perspective. Obviously from the, you know, the pricing on your beef side and your milk side, they're dealing with much different variables in the market at the moment, but at least the, that's kind of been the difference over the last maybe 3 or 4 months versus the last 2 or 3 years is, you know, suddenly my margins are feeling a bit easier for my inputs. That feed bill is not looking as catastrophic as it looked the past couple of years. So it's definitely a bit easier pill to swallow from that perspective. And just to even have meal pricing come down towards the low 300s instead of, yeah, you know, we saw meal in the 500s, right? So, I mean, yep, we've got a little bit of that shock that we're trying to recover from. We were trying to prevent folks from, you know, pulling the trigger too soon because of what they've experienced the last couple of years. But it's certainly a much better outlook as we push through the spring here for the time being anyway.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Jim Matthews, Senior Director, Global Grain and Feed at Ever.Ag is our guest analyst today. We've touched on some of the fundamentals. He mentioned the big recovery in the Argentine crops this year. Let's talk a little bit more about the fundamentals that Jim is watching in the corn soy complex. We'll do that next right here on AgriTalk.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 8¼ cents lower at 559¾. July SRW wheat down 3¼ to 544. May corn futures were 3 cents higher at 436¾. December corn futures closed at 470¾, up 3 cents today. May soybeans were 3 cents higher at 11.98¼. November beans closed at 11.90¾. That's up 3¾ cents on the day. July cotton, 33 points higher, 93.59. On your livestock, April fat cattle were 30 cents higher at 187.25. April feeder futures, 95 cents higher at 252.12½. And April lean hog futures, $1.90 higher at 86.92½. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Seems appropriate.
Kind of does.
Yeah.
Are we back?
A little mess. Are you there?
I think I'm here.
I'm here.
Let me see.
I think it's all good.
I think it's working, yeah.
I think it's working, too. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. A little technical problems there, but Jim handled it like a pro.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim Matthews, Senior Director, Global Grain and Feed at Ever.Ag, is our guest analyst today. Jim, I'm going to start the conversation on what's going on in the soy complex with this. It feels like a real rally in the bean market, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. And the way things have looked, I'd say even leading up into that WASDE report, I guess just a week ago today, we got a little bit of a pop right on beans that day prior. Maybe a sense of, I think at the time, the U.S. dollar started to weaken a little bit on us that, you know, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon. So, you know, perhaps I think from a broader perspective. Maybe we looked a little bit more attractive on the export market. And, you know, you look at what Managed Money's been doing. Obviously, they've had pretty substantial net shorts in some of our markets. And as you guys eloquently stated, short covering earlier on the show, I think we saw a bit of that heading into WASDE. And then I think after folks digested what was not really that much of a bullish WASDE report, we kind of ended up driving this thing higher anyway. And I know on May, we ultimately were not able to hold 12 bucks despite how strong things looked yesterday. Didn't quite have a shot at holding it today, although we did trade it, I think, right on the dot, 12 bucks on May. Couldn't quite hold it. But yeah, I think you could argue it's a much different picture than what the corn market looks like at the moment. And I think given a lot of the reports that we're hearing out of Brazil, even though they just came off of a record crop last year, they've got a still presumably very large crop that is now just about out of the ground this year. I think the debate then is still, hey, how good were these yields from those guys anyway? We've seen some of the CONAB numbers. They're lower than the USDA. I think most folks can agree or at least argue that the USDA has some room to reduce some of their production projections on the next WASDE report. But for the time being, of course, I think most of us are looking to the planting report that's going to be here and now, hard to believe, but less than 2 weeks. And I think everybody's just talking about how much corn we're going to plant. Everything in terms of the application numbers and inputs from this past fall, everyone we talked to, you know, it sounds like corn, but I think that also adds a little bit more volatility for that bean market because beans are sitting here saying, hold on a second, guys, you know, we're still in the rotation too. Give us a shot here. And so I think that report's going to give just a little extra volatility for those guys this year.
Okay. Did you get a chance to look at the NOPA crush report this afternoon?
I did. I mean, I at least I got to see the numbers. Holy smokes. I mean, we've got a pretty amazing insights team here at EverAg. And you know, they posted the numbers and I would never doubt the crew, but just a like, holy smokes type of figure. Can this really be right? I mean, turns out obviously they were, but just a to break the record, I think, for the month of February by what, over 20 million bushels.
It is a big number.
It's a really big number. And I think no matter what everyone's stance might be on the renewable diesel programs and some of the green initiatives, I think regardless of your position there, it's a, hey, we're building these plants. We're going to try and max out this capacity. And even though margins have not been maybe as attractive lately, we are still crushing these beans. And I think that adds another layer of volatility in the soybean complex, because I think one could argue, given the record pace we've had on at least
Did we lose Jim? Did we lose me?
No, you're still there. Jim looks like he's still there. We just can't hear him at
the
moment.
We just can't hear him at the moment.
I could finish the answer if you want.
Oh, go ahead, Joe. Big Apple, yeah, that'd be great.
I can't. I just wanted to give us 5 seconds.
Stalling.
I'll bet we've got Jim back now, don't we?
If you guys hear me?
Yeah. Yep. We got you, buddy. We got you.
Beautiful. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say the total demand picture for corn and for soybeans right now, it feels like it has gone through or is going through a kind of a significant change. And I want to hop over to corn now because you know, what the clock is telling me to do. But you look at the export demand that we've had the last several weeks. Yep. You look at the situation in the ethanol market. The margins are good. Yep. Everything kind of seems to be pointing up on corn demand too, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, it certainly does. And I think we all get caught up when we're talking about exports. We get very caught up in China, right? And is China at the table buying corn from us? We saw that flash sale this morning from Unknown. I think everybody assumes and or hopes or wonders that is China stepping in and maybe taking advantage of, you know, some lower pricing out of the U.S. But, you know, remove China from the conversation. I think our export program has actually run very strong lately. And I think we can thank, you know, our friends and other partners, such as like Mexico, Japan, some of these other nations that have stepped in, especially Mexico, with some record purchases now from the U.S. The export program strong. It's just everybody likes to get a little bit more excited maybe when they know China's at the table and a part of that buying program. I think that's when the bulls can kind of perk back up again. And as you said, Chip, from the ethanol side of things, trying not to slow down there either. I mean, the ethanol grind remains strong. Margins have looked okay. They might be, again, just a little weaker at the moment. But like Davis noted, I mean, crude oil has remained now up towards $80 a barrel. I think if we can start to move that pricing even a bit further and maybe enter that 80 to 90 consistent range, you start to see margins perk back up a bit. And, you know, that ethanol program just continues to grind along.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly does. That the DDG market for your customers.
Yeah.
What a godsend on several fronts, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah, it's certainly, I mean, between, it's a very similar conversation, right? The ethanol grind versus the soybean crush, both producing a protein byproduct for our dairymen and for our cattlemen. It's been super interesting watching the ethanol efficiency, right, in terms of what they've been able to produce more out of a bushel of corn. It's really amazing, and it does provide that byproduct for folks. I think the ethanol pricing itself has maybe been lagging a bit in terms of how far that's come down versus corn and or meal outright. But I think in the last couple of weeks, it's finally made its way toward us a little bit more and has become that much more attractive for folks to step in and use it a bit more in the ration.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to pull you back a little bit towards the psychology and the philosophy of being a buyer versus a seller here a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you look at what we've gone through this quote unquote winter, and you look at how dry it is across the Corn Belt. And you mentioned some of the production uncertainty that we're having to deal with. But doggone it, Jim, what if we are setting up for not a half a season of stress on a crop, but a full season of stress on a corn crop? Does that work into the conversation with your clients now?
Oh, well, 100%. We want to be having that conversation, and obviously, we don't want to get ahead of our skis and you know, start comparing, you know, this year to some of our, you know, previous.
You don't want to call it 2012.
Yeah, exactly. See, I let you say it. I didn't want to say it myself, right? So it's early to call it. That's where I think it's interesting. You talk to folks across the Midwest, and there is an element of like, okay, I can work with this type of dryness for the time being, maybe lack of snow cover for the time being, because it's not just been dry, it's been warm as well for folks. So I think folks, for the most part, are able to work with this. But I think, like Chip, if we're having the same conversation in, you know, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, right, I think it becomes that much more interesting. And hey, hold on a second, you know, suddenly April, May becomes that much more important for us. And that's why I think even if you are feeling better about where pricing looks at the moment, maybe you don't have upside anxiety as a corn buyer just yet, it might be safe to still have some of those upside hedges on as a just in case, you know, things do really stay the way they have been, which is a bit drier than normal and drier than some folks would want, I think, at this stage in the game.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Man, you can tip your cap and take a victory lap, because we had a couple of technical issues on the show today that we normally wouldn't have. You're a first timer and you held right in there, buddy. Good work.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys testing me. Hopefully that was a pass. But yeah, always a pleasure to listen to you guys and especially to be a part of the conversation. So thanks for having me, gents.
You bet. That is fantastic. If you'll do it again at some point in the future, you know we're going to get you back on here. All right.
That sounds good. I appreciate that.
Excellent, Jim. Thank you. Jim Matthews, Senior Director, Global Grain and Feed at Ever.ag. You know, when it comes to buying feed, when it comes to long coverage, the one other kind of philosophical view that we need to talk about, and that's you had one job to do. Let's talk about that next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. You beloved listeners couldn't hear, but I, your pal Davis Michelson, was talking to Chip Flory, who's standing by.
I'm here.
By the way, about keeping a tradition going here.
Oh, we're going to go there.
We're going to go there.
Nice.
And then I also thought, because St. Paddy's Day is coming up, right? I mean, I'm Danish, so I don't know technically if I, you know, if it counts for me, St. Paddy's Day.
You don't have to be Irish to celebrate St. Paddy's Day.
Okay. And it really doesn't even have to be St. Paddy's Day to celebrate St. Paddy's Day, as I understand the holiday.
No, you do have to be Irish for that.
Okay. Oof, well, I've been doing that wrong. So I'm thinking take some kielbasa and just... slice it up in little slices.
Okay.
Put that on top of a plain blank slate cheese frozen pizza, right?
Okay.
A good one, a decent one.
Yeah.
And then sauerkraut on top of it.
Oh, now you're speaking.
What do you think?
I love it.
Because the other option, and I have to keep my head around this, beloved listeners, I'll catch you up here. I had a tradition every Friday night. It was BLT pizza night from Slice Ultra Shed in Dyke, Iowa. Word to Slice Ultra Shed in Dyke, Iowa, huh? All my peoples down there, I would call up, and they'd be like, oh, is it Davis? Okay, you want the bacon? You want the BLT? That's what it was like. I haven't had it since I left town. I'm here like a year and a half now, dude.
Yeah.
So tonight we're going to try it.
Nice.
But there's one thing in all the excitement about the BLT pizza.
Okay.
If I don't remember to cook the bacon ahead of time, all is lost.
Well, of course.
If that one job remains undone, we're going to bed hungry tonight at the Michelson house. One job.
Or maybe just a little later.
Probably just a little later.
You're kind of talking about a first world issue right now. You know.
I know. I know. I know. But when you've got one job, you know, it's kind of hard at the back end to say, I don't know. I couldn't take care of it. There was a shiny thing, and I was looking at it way longer than I thought I was.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have one job tonight.
I got caught in a rabbit hole.
Again.
Out on YouTube.
That's right. That's right.
I was watching a basketball game.
Oh, now, you know, that if I said that, it wouldn't be true. Well, no, it is March.
Yeah.
I'll start watching basketball.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But you wanted to talk about people who have one job.
Right.
And I don't think you're probably talking about pizza.
No. Well, you know, it's the same concept. That was always my attitude about buying feed. And I think it still is for a lot of people. If the number one thing is don't run out. Don't ever run out of that coverage.
Mm-hmm.
whether you've got it covered in the cash, whether you've got it covered with futures, with call options, with some sort of an option spread, you don't run out of coverage. And I've mentioned this a couple of times before too. Mike Walston, who you and I both love, taught us both a lot.
Yeah.
His attitude on feed was always stay 6 months out. Always. That way you knew what your costs were for that six-month period of time. And if you knew what your costs were, then you knew what you were hedging against. You know, it took me a while for the light bulb to go off on that one, but it just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It really does. Now, take that over to the seller side. If you know what your costs are to produce that bushel of corn, and here you are staring a 10% return in the face, why aren't you a willing seller? Is it because you think it's going to get to 15? Is it going to get to 20? That might be, but shouldn't you be rewarding a market that is offering a positive return? It took me about 90 seconds to get there, but from the buy side and the sell side of grain management, of risk management in the feed and the grain selling business, that put it in a nutshell right there. That was my line of thinking.
Mm.
If there is a profit to take, you take it.
Yeah.
How are we going to manage profit if we don't know what our costs are? So let's make sure that we at least nail that down so that we can then manage our costs on the other side of it, or our marketing on the other side of it. Yeah.
You're eliminating a variable.
It simplified it. Yes, it absolutely. Eliminated a variable and simplified the whole process. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Who was it we were talking to earlier this week that threw out a 93 million acres on corn?
Rich Nelson.
Was it Rich Nelson?
Allendale. They did their survey work.
That's right. That's right. Well, and Jim Matthews, Ever.ag, his comment was, well, what do you hear on acreage? And he said corn, corn, corn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe, I didn't catch it. He didn't say a number, did he?
No.
I don't think he threw a number out.
Nope. And you know what my attitude has been? That 92 million was kind of the base.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe work up from there. I wouldn't have worked to over 93 million. And I'm still thinking that a 178.5 and Rich Nelson and the group at Allendale, the survey work was a 179.6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having a hard time getting over a 178.5 combined corn and soybeans because I want to send some more acres to spring wheat. I want to send some more acres to cotton. I want to send some more acres to sorghum, specialty crops up in North Dakota, Montana. Yeah. You know, there's more demand for a finite amount of acres. And I think that puts a cap on where we're going with the with corn and soybeans this year. All right, real quick, National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, March 21st through the 25th. Keep the Speedos out up in Alaska.
Yeah, baby.
And we've got below normal temperatures expected in the upper Midwest, Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, and points to the north. Above normal precipitation expected over the entire country. Is what it looks like. Yes.
Yep.
The entire country. So good luck with that. Hey, we got Phil Flynn on Monday morning from Price Futures talking energy prices right here on AgriTalk.